I'm Don, compulsive overeater. And let me first thank Ellie and Sean for asking me to speak today. I have 13 years in program this week, and when I first walked in here, I didn't think it was possible to live abstinently. I thought that I was going for the rest of my life to be helplessly powerless over the food, helplessly fat, helplessly overeating, and that there was no choice. There was nothing that I could do about it. I don't remember a time in my life that I wasn't a compulsive overeater. I've seen pictures of myself when I was 4 and 5 years old, when I was thin, and you could see ribs, whatever those are. But I don't remember it. Every time I think back to any time in my childhood, I always remember having a different relationship with food than any of my friends. They would do things that I thought were brain damaged, like say, I'm full, or leave food on their plates. And I'd be sitting there, finished my food, looking around at theirs, and they'd be, oh, I can't eat anymore. What? It didn't make any sense to me. I knew there was something different in the way I was wired. I didn't know what it was or why or how, but it was very clear to me that I had a different relationship with food than anybody I knew. I was always heavy as a kid. I was much heavier proportionately as a child than I ever was as an adult. My top weight that I know of is about 238 pounds, but I suspect it was higher than that. But as a kid, I was way, way heavier proportionately. I mean, enough that people on the street would turn around and look at me when I walked past. Certainly enough to where every time I went shopping for clothes, they would hustle me over to something called Huskies, which was supposed to be a euphemism, but didn't fool anybody, at least me. To this day, I don't like to shop for clothes because it was such a humiliating experience as a kid. You'd put something on, oh, well, I think we need a bigger size. I mean, it was a very damaging experience head-wise because whatever I looked like on the outside, I'll get to that later, I was still heavy inside. I used to lay there feeling completely helpless about it. I had this fantasy of this gigantic banquet and everything, all the foods that I wanted, and every time I ate something, I'd lose a pound. And I kept thinking, you know, I wanted clearly to be able to eat anything I wanted and not have weight as an issue. I also had the idea that if I lost weight, everything would be good. That I assumed that every problem I had in my life, whether it was shyness, awkwardness, whatever it was related to the weight. And that if I lost weight, the other problems would disappear. And so that's kind of how I grew up. I didn't understand it. As I got older in life, I had a different sort of set of issues, which was, I don't understand this. I have the ability to set goals. I have the ability to accomplish things. I have the ability to say, if I want to be over there and I'm here, these look like the steps to take to get me there. And in virtually every other area of my life, I was able to do it. And then I couldn't do it with the food. And it kept baffling me, and it kept humiliating me, and it kept saying, I don't get it. Because if I can do this here, why can't I do it with the food? It doesn't make any sense to me. You should be able to do this. You should do it. You should do it. So throughout my life, I would try diets. They would last for short periods of time. I like to say I was a pioneer in one area. In the 50s, we had one of the first television sets because my mom had a local television show. So we got a set early. So I like to feel I was a pioneer in eating in front of the television set. And as you know, pioneers have to endure hardships. There were no remote controls in those days. So I didn't really lose any appreciable weight, though, until I got into high school / college. And the way I did that is I went to a family doctor who said, here, no problem, let me give you a prescription. Some of you who are closer to my generation may remember things like Tenuate Dosepan and Dexamil, essentially speed, and they worked great. They weren't great in the sense that I was flying around the room and high energy. They weren't great in the sense that I had no appetite. I think I was eating one meal a day, and that was a salad. But what interested me about it, in retrospect, and I didn't even really think about it at the time, was that I was taking these pills, I had no appetite whatsoever, and I kept thinking about food. And that was weird. Well, maybe a bite of this, and what about this? I wasn't hungry, and I didn't want to eat, but I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And of course, as soon as I stopped taking the medicine, it all went away, and the food came back with a vengeance. I managed, when I was in graduate school, to come up with a different way of doing it. I finally thought, all right, I'm going to eat three meals a day. I'm determined to eat, you know, the foods that I want so I don't feel deprived. And I'm going to exercise. I'm not going to exercise, but I was going to eat sensibly, and I was going to do this, and I didn't usually eat breakfast because it was still stuff from the night before. I'll eat breakfast, that's healthier, and I was eating these three meals a day, and I lost weight, and I was feeling great. I thought, I got it. You know, I've got it this time. I finally figured it out. I finally understand what I needed to do. I just kept thinking there's some gimmick. There's some way to do this that I haven't got yet. There's some trick. There's some angle. There's something that I haven't figured out. And this time I got it. And that lasted about 2 years, and then very slowly began coming back a little more of this and a little more of that, and suddenly it was gone, and I gained back all the weight and then some more. I always think of it like borrowing money. You take off the weight, then you pay the money back with interest. I always gained back more than I lost. And it just kept going up and up, and it was frightening. There was another period in my life after that when, again, I never quite understood why suddenly I could get motivated, because I certainly would start a lot of diets on Monday and have them gone by Monday afternoon at lunch. Only by Sunday to be saying, tomorrow I'm starting for an earnest, and I really mean it this time, and the same pattern over again. Usually accompanied with, well, since I'm going to start tomorrow, I may as well eat and then fill in the blank. This time I started exercising as well. And this time I lost weight and I was exercising, and I thought I really got it this time. And that went on for about 4 years. That's the longest I ever in my entire life kept my weight at any kind of rational range. And I thought, wow, I really got it this time. And I was at an event with a friend of mine who was a big guy, and I was having a dessert because I was determined to eat all things moderately, because that was, I didn't want to feel deprived again. And so I did this the whole time, and it was working. I was thinking, I really got it this time. And he's looking at me and he says, man, as skinny as you are, you ought to be eating two desserts. And I thought, yeah. And literally from that little ground zero point, it was gone again. And I woke up again going, how did I keep doing this? What is wrong with me? Why is this happening? And I had heard about Overeaters Anonymous about 10 years before I ever came to it. And the reason I didn't come to it was fairly simple. My ego was too big to fit through that door. I wouldn't admit that I was unable to do it on my own. I thought, you don't understand. I can do all these other great things in every other area of my life. You know, I have a successful marriage. I've had success in my job. I've figured out how to do these things. And why can't I do it with the food? I ought to be able to. There's something wrong with me that I can't do this. I just haven't got the angle. I used to think Star Trek used to talk about space, the final frontier, and I used to think my fat, the final frontier. And in fact, it's right out there. So I knew about it, I remember lying in bed one night feeling this gigantic lump of a stomach and going, all right, I give up. I can't do this on my own. I got to try something else. And I had been to a nutritionist, one of the other things I'd tried, and I found that when I went to the nutritionist, that for about 3 or 4 days afterwards, I was eating pretty healthily. And I thought, well, okay, maybe if Overeaters Anonymous is nothing more than something that gives me 2 or 3 days at a time, if I keep doing it every 2 or 3 days, I'll be able to stretch it together. Having no real idea about what it was about here, only that I tried everything else, so I may as well give this one a try. So This was before the internet. I called up, there was a number you dialed, and they had a 37-minute recording of every meeting that was coming up in the area. And one of them was a newcomer meeting on Robertson in the log cabin. And I thought, all right, I'll try it. So I go to this newcomer meeting, and it is a rainy day, and it's dark inside, and there's very few people. And I thought, oh, this is not for me. And I was immediately thinking about everything that was wrong with this meeting, and every reason I didn't belong here, and everything that was different about me and everybody else. So I sat there looking at my watch, squirming in the chair, thinking, how quickly can I get out of here? The meeting was over, I'm standing up, I'm on my way out, and a little lady named Doris, that a lot of you knew, who was about 5 feet tall, gets between me and the door. And she sticks her finger up in my face and she says, don't leave before the miracle happens. And I thought, what? But it was intriguing. And it was intriguing enough to, I said, well, I don't understand anything about this. She said, okay, don't take second helpings and come back to another meeting. All right. So it felt a little weird. So the next day, I went to the Serenity Sunday meeting. And it was a very different experience. It was, the sun was shining, and it was bright, and the people were laughing and happy, and the speaker was Eleanor. I think I even saw her earlier. And I was suddenly intrigued by this. And I thought, you know what? People are getting something here, and there's something here, and I have no clue what it is. But what I'm doing isn't working, so I need to give this a try. And I just felt a spark of some little something lighting the tinder. And I felt a little bit of a bit of hope, because I started seeing things like people who had lost 250 pounds and kept it off for 30 years. I never thought anything like that was possible. And I'd see people that had long-term abstinence. I'd see people, I didn't know how they were doing it. I just knew they were doing it. And I thought, all right, there's got to be something here. So I'll keep trying. So on the third or fourth meeting I went to, my sponsor Michael walked up to me and said, here's my card. If you'd like to call me, you can. That's the scientific way I pick my sponsor. He's the only guy that came up to me, although we're still together after 13 years. And so I started calling him. Again, no idea what I was doing. Just that all of a sudden I was feeling, I realized I was eating healthy. And I was, okay, something's working here, even if this is a diet club. And the other thing about Serenity Sunday is that they give away little, plastic chips for 30, 60, 90 days and so forth. And you probably gathered I'm goal-oriented at it from the way I've been talking. So I thought, all right, I want one of those. I want to show up, and I want to get 30 days, and I want to get 60 days. And I was able, one day at a time, to do that. Again, starting to not really understand what I was doing, but going through it and trusting that it was going to work, because I was seeing something. I was also a little scared of the steps. I'd heard about the ninth step, and you're supposed to go apologize to people, and I thought, what the hell is that? And so I said to Michael early on, I said, Michael, I'm kind of worried about the ninth step. He says, Don, you're not on the first step yet. And I said, so I shouldn't worry about it? He said, well, you can if you want to. But I trusted, all right, by the time I get there, I'll be in a different place, and I'll understand it, and I'll try it. So I was going up to get a chip for 60 days. And when I did that, I had an extraordinary revelation. It's sort of, I remembered it was like the time I was learning to ride a bicycle, and I looked around, and my stepfather was, who I thought was holding the back of it, was about a half a block away. I realized that I was riding the bicycle by myself. I realized there was something that wasn't there, and that's, for me, harder to notice than something that is there. And what I noticed wasn't there was that every time in my life that I went on a diet, every single time, I felt this spring winding up inside me. I felt like I was in prison. I couldn't wait to break out, and I had to get out, and I had to start eating because I had to make up for lost time. I felt like I had been so tightly deprived, that I had been so hard to graft something artificial onto my personality, to make myself not eat when that was my natural tendency, that I couldn't wait to get out from under the weight and wait for the spring to explode so I could eat again. And as I walked up to get this 60-day chip for the first time in my entire life, I suddenly realized I didn't feel the spring. And I hadn't noticed it until I suddenly got there and thought, wow, I don't feel it. There's a real qualitative, quantitative difference in what I'm doing now than anything I'd ever done before in my life. And the difference was, of course, that I had a program, that I had a spiritual aspect, that I had somebody beyond myself, that I had a sponsor, that I had an ability to get out of my head in the noise, because certainly everything in my life proved that I can't fix myself with myself. And despite the fact that my ego wants to say otherwise, still today wants to say otherwise, I can't do it. And yet if I get outside myself, if I do the simple steps of the program, I get relief from the compulsive overeating. If you ask me why I walked in here the first day, the answer was actually very simple. I'd look at you like it was a trick question. Well, what are you talking about? I came here because I wanted to lose weight. If you ask me today, I won't give you the same answer. Yes, I wanted to lose weight, but today I'm here because I don't want to eat compulsively. And that's a big difference. If I can stop the obsession with the food. See, I could. When I was taking pills and not eating, I was losing weight, but my head was still compulsively worried about the food. I can eat compulsively and restrict what I eat and jam it in and lose weight. They're very different. But if I ask for relief, if I get the obsession lifted and truly lifted for 24 hours at a time, if I do the deal, then I'm no longer struggling. I'm no longer in a place where my head is obsessing with food all day, because it doesn't take much to get me there. Now, I don't mean to say that the thoughts don't still come, because they do. The difference is I don't have to act on them. The difference is they don't come as often. The difference is they don't come as powerfully. In some ways, that's more dangerous. They're more insidious. And in fact, the longer abstinence I have, I can find myself getting cockier. Because certainly this has not been a straight line, and I don't want to make it sound like it was. About a year into the program, I suddenly realized I had lost the weight, I was feeling great, and my pants started getting tight. I wonder if they're shrinking. It turned out they weren't. And I thought, you know what, I don't want to tell anybody. I want to be the poster boy for OA. I want to be the shining example that does it perfectly and this and that. And I thought, wait a minute, that's 180 degrees from what I ought to be doing. I ought to be telling everybody that I'm having a problem. And by just doing that, by starting with my sponsor and sharing at meetings that, hey, I'm having a problem, I felt the obsession relief again. It's extraordinary to me in terms of the way I think that there's a paradox about this, because my brain tends to work pretty logically. And logically, if I want to get control over something, I don't get it by admitting that I'm powerless over it. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's why this program is experiential, in my experience. It doesn't lend itself to the logic that other things do. It lends itself to doing it. There's the expression, you can't be too dumb for the program, but you can be too smart for it. And I can certainly overthink just about anything, as you're probably gathering, but I could certainly overthink this. And yet I had to let go of that in order to get any kind of relief from the program. I had to let go of my preconceptions. I had to let go of the idea that this was going to be something I could map out. I mean, my other desire when I got here was, how quick can I get this and how quick can I get out of here? Because I just want to learn it, move on, graduate, etc. I don't want to do that now. I don't want to do it because, for several reasons. One, I'm continuing to learn. This is the expression, it's a $1 million program, you get it a nickel at a time. So I want to stick around for that because I'm continually getting new things out of it. But secondly, if I leave here, I'm going to start eating again. I don't have any doubts about it. My head has doubts about it. My head says, oh, come on, you won't do that. But it's not true. I know it is. The beast is still very much alive inside me. I see evidence of it all the time. When even now, if I'm eating something and I'll suddenly look down and it's gone, and I said, I don't remember eating that. but I did, and I didn't even taste it. So I still have all the demons living inside me. It's like if you're going into a dark attic and there's little gremlins hiding that are going to jump out at you with shiny eyes, they're scary. If you pull them out into the daylight, they're kind of little and shriveled and they're not that bad. And you know where they are. That's what I have to do with my disease. That's what I have to do with my head. I have to keep it in the sunlight. Because left inside my own darkness, I'll clearly spin out of control, and it won't be that long before I'm back where I was with extra weight, because I know I'm going to put more on top of it. To me, the genius about this program, by the way, is our ability to speak the same language. And what I mean by that is that if you take somebody who is blind from birth and try to describe to them the color orange, you can't do it. They don't have the same frame of reference that we do. We can't tell them what a color looks like. If I take someone who's not a compulsive overeater and I try and explain my disease, they don't get it. Look, I'm not a gambler. I don't understand why somebody would gamble and lose their house. I certainly understand why somebody would go and binge and get out of bed at 3 a.m. to go eat something. People who don't have our compulsion don't, nor should they. It's not up to them to do that. On the other hand, within a few hours or minutes, we all understand each other. We share the same compulsion. It doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. This is an equal opportunity disease. It hits everybody at all stages and walks and ages of life. And we know it, and we understand it, and we have the ability to communicate with each other in a way that nobody else can. And it's an extraordinary gift to be in a place where we can do that. It's an extraordinary program that we're all here not for money, not for gain, but only to help each other and to help ourselves. And another one of the paradoxes, I only can help myself by helping other people. And I get far more out of doing that than I do out of doing something selfishly for myself, even though my head goes to selfish because that's the way I'm wired. But there's this great thing that we all have together. I had a sponsee who had a wonderful gift for analogy. He used to talk about if there was an 8-foot wall, I can't get over it by myself. But if you boost me up to the top, I can lay on the top, I can reach down, I can pull you up, and we're both over it. There are things that we do here together that I at least can't do by myself. It's such a great program to support in that fashion, because when we help support it, we're carrying the message to people who are still suffering. We're carrying the message to people who are slipping and sliding. And we're carrying the message to people who are doing just fine but need to maintain it and need the air that we give them to breathe, so that we can all survive together. Because we build things here that we can't otherwise. When I worked through the steps with my sponsor, my life got better. Not necessarily in the outside. I don't think you'd see much of a change from the outside other than my weight. But certainly from the inside, I felt a big difference. I felt a peace and a serenity that I hadn't felt before. I found myself worrying and stressing less about everything from personal life to business life. I felt a different sense of respect for people than I'd had before. The idea that you can learn something from anybody was somewhat, not new to me because I knew it intellectually, but I didn't know it emotionally. And, you know, people in meetings that I would look at and think I had nothing in common with, I would get something very profound from. And it's an ongoing, wonderful spiritual experience as long as I continue to do the deal. And if anything, I have to fight against the idea that I've accumulated some years and maybe I get some coasting time, because I don't. I just think I do. I still have to keep it fresh. I still have to work the program. I still have to be able to communicate and to do this on a daily basis. And what I do on a daily basis is I read for today, the OA book, when I get up in the morning. There's someone that I call. We read 2 or 3 pages of the big book on a daily basis. I call my sponsor. I do a daily inventory. We do it in an AEIOU, if any of you are familiar with that. Essentially a 10th step. But I list A is the abstinence. I'll tell them what I ate. E is for exercise. What did I do for exercise? I is something I did for myself. O is something I did for others. The U is uncovering things, and we break it down into 3 things, which is resentments of other people, fears, and resentments of yourself. What am I feeling in that area? Then there's a Y at the end, which is a Yahoo, something you're really excited about, and 3 gratefuls, 3 things that you're grateful for. And it's a very nice way to get centered and a nice way to sort of crystallize my day and go through what I've done and, you know, be accountable to somebody else for it. And I can always tell when I'm not really interested in talking about something, which is, of course, when I most need to talk about it. Because I still want to slide things under the rug if they don't fit within my image of who I think I ought to be. So at least for me, my head isn't out of the way and probably won't be for a while without some effort and some wrestling. But I still try to do that and work it on a daily basis. The only other thing I can say is that I've gotten some great gifts from the program, but they only last as long as I'm willing to continue doing the work. They only last as long as I'm willing to continue to do the deal. If I do the deal, and it's only a few short things, take calls from sponsees, work with sponsees, talk to my sponsor, do the other things that I've talked about. If I do that deal on a daily basis, I get a reprieve. I get the obsession lifted. I get for 24 hours not to have to obsess with the food. If I don't do it, it comes back. And it comes back insidiously and slowly and creeps. And it has several times. Even within the last several months, I've had to turn things around because I was beginning to creep again. So it doesn't matter, again, how much time I have. It only matters what I do over the next 24 hours. And I'll close with the same sponsee who had the gift for analogy. It's one of my favorite things that I've come across in program. He says, "I can't stay clean today on yesterday's shower." And I really love that. If I don't do the deal today, it doesn't matter that I have how many years I have behind me. It doesn't matter how great I worked the program yesterday. I'm going to be in trouble today if I don't work it for the next 24 hours. So thank you for letting me be of share, and happy birthday, Alex.